Welcome to Reach Radio, the home of hard-hitting topics. I'm your host, Steve Bacor. So, buckle up, toss in those earbuds, and get ready for topics that matter. Okay, welcome once again to Reach Radio. I am your host, Steve Bacor, and here at Reach Radio, we cover news, faith, and more. This week's podcast is entitled Fornication, the Other F Word, where we'll dive into the topic of I want to touch, but should I? If you're new to Reach Radio, here is the breakdown. At the beginning, we cover news, we talk about what's going on globally, then we take a break. You could sit back, relax, have a Snickers bar, pop a Xanax, everybody calm down. And then we come back and we talk about the meat and potatoes of the podcast. Also, next week's podcast is entitled Higher Education Equals Bullpoo. I just said bullpoo. I'm trying to keep it clean. So polish up that bachelor's degree, call your old professor, Dr. Snedley, submit that never-ending student loan payment, and get ready for topics that matter. Okay, and now off to the news. Let's talk about Thailand cave rescue. I mean, soccer team goes in there, a whole bunch of kids with their coach, into a cave in Thailand. And of course, they're exploring. There's a section that says, do not cross, hazardous, please don't do it. Bad things will happen to you. And of course, what does the team do and the coach? They go beyond the sign. Why do we do that? Why do we have to push the envelope consistently as humans? The sign says, don't do it. It's going to be bad. And of course, we have to cross it. We have to know what's on the other side. But anyhow, so they cross the line. They go into the cave. They go deeper and deeper. Water starts to come in. It starts to flood the cavern. They have to go deeper and deeper and farther back in order to escape the floods. And then now they're trapped. So the parents are nervous. Law enforcement's nervous. Politicians are nervous. Cardiologists are nervous. Candy makers are nervous. Everybody's nervous about what's going to happen to these poor kids. So now they're trying to figure out, how do we get these kids out safely? I mean, one of the things that they're proposed was to drill a hole down into the ground, into the cave, in order to get them out, but they're worried that the cave would collapse. The other idea that they had was to suck out the water, pump it out, and then bring them out the way that they came in. But overall, they really don't know what to do. I've even heard them suggest that they could have scuba divers go in there, teach the kids how to swim, and then scuba dive them back out of the cave. But a lot of these kids don't even know how to swim, so they're really utilizing that as a last case scenario. They have brought in Navy SEALs and divers, like I said, and medical personnel into the cave and brought them to the students, to the soccer players, and given them medical care and food and a telephone in order to talk to their parents. But it is a catastrophe. I mean, this thing is absolutely crazy. I feel bad for the kids. I feel bad for the parents. I know me, I'm claustrophobic. If I even take a look at an airplane, I start freaking out. If I get into an elevator, I gotta pop two Xanax just to get from floor one to floor two. I can't even imagine being stuck inside of a cave for weeks, and now they're talking possibly months. I would die. That would be a cardiac arrest. I'd be on the floor. I'd be the first one brought out in a body bag. So keep your prayers and thoughts with those kids and with the people that are working on the solution. Hopefully we can get everybody home safe. Okay, so the second topic that I want to talk about is this heroin opioid pandemic that is just shooting through the roof here in America. It's absolutely getting crazy. I mean, back in the day, I'm 34. Back in the day when I was a younger guy, you know, what we wanted to do is we just wanted to have a good time. We'd everybody get together. We got the euchre going. We got the beer pong going. You know, we got a case of PBR. We got the jams and the tunes playing. Everybody's happy. Everybody is content. And then at the end of the night, you go, you hit up Taco Bell, you order a pizza, you get a little bit of the ajadu going, you take a couple Tums, you wake up in the morning, you feel like crap for 2 days, and then you go to work, and it's the best weekend ever. So nowadays, just going out having a couple beers and having a great time isn't good enough. Now you gotta go take a heroin syringe, needle, stick it into your arm, and take a 50-50 crapshoot of waking up the next day. That's the new level of fun now. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. The epidemic, the pandemic, I don't know what the right word is. Let's stick with pandemic. That sounds good. So the pandemic is spreading across the entire country. It's getting crazy. So I started to do a little bit of research. I want to see how bad this is. In 2016, drug overdoses killed 63,632 Americans. 63,000 people died because of drug overdoses. Nearly two-thirds of these deaths, 66%, involved a prescription or illicit opioid. And these opioid deaths have been increasing in all categories. I mean, men, women, kids, 15 and older, all races, all across, all levels of urbanization. They're just hitting everywhere. It's unbelievable. I mean, here's some more numbers. Across demographic categories, the largest increase in opioid overall death rates was in males between the ages of 25 and 44. I'm a 34-year-old male, and at no point in my life have I ever wanted to stick a heroin needle into my arm or taken an illicit opioid. At no point have I ever wanted to do that. Has that sounded like a great time? I mean, when you're younger, you do some dumb things. I've done some dumb things, but I've never wanted to take it to that extreme. It's unbelievable. However, we can't turn a blind eye to the issue. We have to start addressing it. Mental health needs to be a priority. People are killing one another. They're shooting people. They're sticking heroin needles into their arm. Look at the suicide rates. It's unbelievable. And this is what our younger generations see. They see this all the time on TV. It's sickening to me. We need to make mental health a more of a priority. And I wish that we would have help from celebrities and people in the limelight that could come out and say, I have issues, I've had issues, this is how I'm addressing it, to make it more normal. It has to be something it's okay to talk about. The other thing is we have to be observant. If you see somebody who's struggling, who might have an issue with dependency on a drug, we have to step in. Don't be afraid to say something. Don't be afraid to call them. Give them love. Give them nurturing. Try to find some type of help for the person. They're obviously drowning. We have to do more for one another. So what's your thoughts on this topic? I mean, do you think that they're accurate? Do you think this is really, truthfully a problem within America? Or do you think it's overblown? Do you think it's just something that is put out there to kind of scare people and fearmonger? I mean, who's to blame? Is it the mental health problems? Is it the drug manufacturers? Is it not having enough of God and faith within the homes and within the school systems? What is the issue and how can we help? Okay, so let's go ahead and take a break. Everybody calm down. Just sit back, relax, take a sip of coffee. I need to take my blood pressure and pop a Xanax. In addition, I have a wonderful, beautiful, filled with passion chocolate cake pop directly in front of me, and I need to take this bad boy out like Arnold Schwarzenegger took out Cyberdyne Systems in Terminator 2. It needs to happen. If you've never had a chocolate cake pop, go out and get yourself a sweet little bundle because you can't have one. You're going to have the whole entire grouping of them. I've literally gained 15 pounds since I've been introduced to chocolate cake pops. It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyways, I'm going to take this bad boy out, relax a little bit, and I'll be back in 15. Okay, so we are back from that break. Hopefully you're able to relax, take a sip of coffee. Everybody has calmed down. Now that you're nice and calm, let's get the blood pressure and the heart rate back up by talking about today's episode entitled Fornication, the Other F Word. Okay, so let's just dive right into the topic. I just want to start off by saying I feel for you. I know you're listening to this topic. I know you've probably battled with this before. You're battling with it now. I feel your pain. I understand what you're going through. This is a very, very difficult topic to address and talk about. I mean, regardless if you're a Christian, regardless if you're somebody that walks in faith, we all know that sleeping around with other people can cause issues. It can cause problems. It makes sense to me why the Bible just says to stay away. Don't do it. It can lead to issues. I mean, you go out, you meet this wonderful girl. Let's just say it's Sarah. And you get past the number one problem, which is being catfished. So she actually shows up. She's not Jimmy. She's actually Sarah. and you have a wonderful night out with her. You guys have a great dinner. You go out and see a movie. She's looking good. I mean, really good. She's got the skirt on. She's got the high-heeled shoes on. She's got the dangling necklaces that you've always liked. The hair is all in curls. You want to take it one more step. Why not? So you reach over, you touch a little bit of the leg. She touches a little bit of your leg. Things are starting to move around. It's not a good situation. But at the same time, it's a beautiful situation. I mean, what do? Do you pursue it? You don't even know. Sarah could be nuts. She could be absolutely crazy. You fool around a little bit. You talk to her a couple more times before you know it. She's driving around your work. She's calling your friends. She's secretly meeting mom for lunch dates. I mean, you're deep. You're in trouble. I can understand the problems that surround fooling around. But at the same time, we're human beings and we want to have that physical and emotional connection. On top of it, I'm Sicilian, which makes it even worse. Because us Italians, we're touchy-feely people. We want to touch, we want to hug, we want to kiss, we want to hold you, and then we want to throw a hot knife in your back when you aggravate us and you piss us off. But that's just how we're wired. We're crazy. But us Italians, we are filled with passion and love. Don't count us out, babe. Don't count us out. Anyways, let's get back to the topic. So fornication, let's talk about the definition. The traditional definition that everybody goes by today is sexual intercourse between two people not married to each other. So let's take a deeper look into the definition of the word, but on a biblical level. So we can see different meanings of the word fornication, and this is where I think the problem stems from. It really depends on if you're looking at the Hebrew, if you're looking at the Greek or the Latin translation of the word. This is where the issue starts, and people have different ideologies of what truly fornication is. In Hebrew, there are two words used for fornication, both meaning sexual immorality and idolatry, with a heavier emphasis on idolatry. Then we could also take a look at the Greek translation of the word fornication, which is rooted from the word porneia, which is where we get the word pornography from. This refers to any unlawful sexual activity outside of marriage. Speaking of marriage, I believe that marriage is not constituted by a ceremony, a ring, or a certificate. I mean, you have to have those things to be legally married, but spiritually, I believe that the marriage is constituted by the two becoming one, and I think that takes place in the bedroom. And when those two become one, you are justifiably married within God's eye. One can argue that there is no premarital sex in the Bible. The first person you have sex with is technically your husband and wife on a spiritual level. If that's true, then we're all in trouble. Because if you had sex after your first partner, then technically in God's eyes or biblically, you committed adultery. I mean, that's how deep this topic can go. And if that's the truth, then I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. We have to have a serious discussion here. I mean, my mom, when I was little, scared the living crap out of me about fooling around. My mom told me when I was young, listen, if you have sex out of marriage, God knows, and he makes your penis fall off. That's what I was told as a kid. I was so scared that my little penis would fall right off if I fooled around with somebody outside of marriage. I mean, I was having conversations with them every single day, every time I went to the bathroom. It's like, I know you're down there. You look nice to me. You're a nice guy. You know, I'd like to have a further conversation and have a further relationship with you. But if we fool around, you're going to fall off. It scared the living crap out of me. Besides my mom telling me that my penis was going to fall off, now I have to deal with all the heavy sexual content on every single thing that I interact with now. You know, the cell phone, the movies, the radio, the TV show. I mean, it's everywhere. You want to sit down, you want to watch a nice family movie, but no, you turn on the TV, there's a huge pair of tatas staring you right in the face. And now you want to go take the old lady into the bedroom and fornicate a little bit. You want to touch a little bit. It's unbelievable. I can't help it. You can't help it. We're all in trouble. Let's turn the sex off. Okay, so I'm obviously joking about turning off the sex piece. What are you trying to do? Kill me over here? But anyways, let's talk about why the fornication thing can lead to issues. I mean, we just talked about the spiritual piece, but I want to talk about something that's more real, more tangible. You know, let's get back onto the whole Sarah piece. You take out Sarah. You had a wonderful time. You fornicated a little bit. You broke down. You broke down. You saw the pumps. You saw the mini skirt. You saw the dangly earrings that you love, and you just couldn't take it. You fornicated a little bit. Now you go to the bathroom a week later, you feel a little bit of a tingling sensation. You have to go to the doctor. You do a quick little pee test. They give you a call, give you the bad news. You're positive. You got to go back in there, get some penicillin, get an injection, take a pill, whatever you got to do, because you have a problem. That's not good. Then we take a look at, again, using Sarah. You find out after fooling around, you fornicate, you get a little bit closer. Now you created that bond. You find out that she's a little nuts. She's stalking you. She's driving by the work. She blows up your phone 15 times a day. She's sending you the Instagram live videos where she looks like a dog. I mean, you get all the craziness that comes through. I mean, matter of fact, she called up your Uncle Tim last week. And them two caught a Detroit Tigers game. They're eating hot dogs together on Tinder. It's unbelievable. I don't even know what's going on. But the whole point, it can lead to problems. You just have to stay away. It's a hard thing to do. I completely understand. I understand your pain. You understand my pain. There's good things to it. We want the emotional, physical connection. We have to have it. We're human beings. But there's bad things that can happen. So besides Sarah going off the deep end and sends you 15 cute little doggy face pictures every single hour to the point you want to smash your iPhone 8 Plus into the ground, let's take a 180 and let's take a look at you. Let's say you're the one that goes nuts. You meet Sarah. She's beautiful. You're intrigued. You're already imagining coming home after a hard day's work at Ford. And you walk in and there's Sarah. She's looking cute. You've got the two kids on the ground. They're playing. Your life is already set. And then all of a sudden, Sarah finds Timmy. Now, Timmy walks in. He's a wonderful guy. He works with Sarah. He's 6'4". He's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's got a voice like Frank Sinatra. And them two are going at it. And then now you fall into that weird ex-stalker guy mode. Now you're driving past the house. You know what cars are there. You know the license plate. You've marked the tires. You know that she went to Meijer's and picked up a half gallon of milk. She came back. It's horrible. You're calling family members. You're calling friends. You don't know what's going on. You're burying your face into a box of puffs every single night because you can't take the pain. And this is why I believe the Bible says to stay away. God's not just sitting up there just trying to be mean. He knows that there's problems that could take place. When you go that route with somebody, you become one. It's more than just a casual relationship. There's a bond that's created. And here's the issues that can come up because you have created a bond. I think so many people look at God as this mean man that just sits up and just makes these rules because he doesn't want to have any fun. He wants you to sit at home all day, but that's not the truth. He's telling you, hey, dum-dum, if you go and do this, you're going to have problems. I'm just telling you because I love you and I want you to be okay. You don't want to have to go to the doctors and take a pee-pee test. You don't want Sarah giving you 15 calls every day with the cute dog face. You don't want to have to find Sarah with Brian, Tommy, Jimmy, or Brad on the boat on the Instagram. You don't want to see that. Save yourself some pain. It's a little easier to disconnect when that type of relationship hasn't been established. All God is saying is, hey, dude, just take a break. Hit the brakes a bit and just think about what you're doing and the problems you can get into. He just wants us to be cautious. So what's your thoughts on this topic? I mean, am I going overboard with this? I mean, or is it something that you've battled with? Do you currently battle with it? I understand. I feel your pain. I constantly battle with it. It's tough being human. Then you add the faith piece on top of it. And then you add for me, which is the cherry on top, being Italian / Sicilian. We want to touch. If the wind blows just right, I'm ready to go. Let alone seeing some hot chick walk in with a pair of stilettos on in a miniskirt. I mean, she just even looks at me. I want to toss a bun in the oven. I can't help it. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and call a timeout. Everybody calm down. Just relax. If you have to go take a cold shower, go and do it. Don't let the high-heeled pumps in the miniskirt get to you. I'm just joking with you, but anyhow, this is Reach Radio, the home of news, faith, and more. And thank you again for listening. We greatly appreciate every single subscriber. If you enjoyed this topic, I mean, you really loved it. It hit home. Please click the like button, the heart button, the star button. There's so many platforms. You know what to do, but stay informed. Most importantly, give a call to your Aunt Shirley. Let her know that last week's meatloaf was excellent and that you want her to join in on Reach Radio's podcast. Overall, we need your help. Let's get the word out there together and stay tuned for upcoming info. Speaking of staying tuned, watch out for next Wednesday's episode entitled Higher Education Equals Bull Poo. I know I said bull poo. Don't judge me, babe. I'm trying to keep this sucker clean. But anyhow, this is Reach Radio, the home of hard-hitting topics. Stay righteous, stay clean, and keep it 100.